Hello, Jenny Murray welcoming you to Thursday's Woman's Hour podcast. Good morning. Now, in 1919, soon after the end of the First World War, an Edwardian human rights activist, Eglantine Jebb, staged a protest in Trafalgar Square in London about the starvation of children across Europe as a result of the Allied post-war blockade of Germany and Eastern Europe. It would lead to the foundation of the charity Save the Children and eventually to the United Nations Convention of the Rights of the Child. Well, a play about her work, Eglantine, has been written and performed by a New Zealander, Anne Chamberlain, and will be on in Brighton tomorrow and then at the Central Family Court in London on the 18th of May. And what drew a New Zealander to Eglantine, Jeb?
Eglantine is an international global citizen. I think her views are extreme about humanity. I was actually doing a short communications contract with Save the Children, and I'd never heard of her, and I felt ashamed that I hadn't. And I was doing research. In fact, I was reading Claire Mully's biography of the woman who saved the children. And I was completely drawn into her spirit, her inspiration, her vision.
So what sort of background did she come from?
A privileged background, from Shropshire. And she went to Oxford University. But it was a family that had a very strong social conscience. And around the time in this country, she was born in 1876, died quite early in 1928. So we're talking pre and post First World War. There was really no social welfare here. And it's quite interesting that the movers and shakers tended to come from those classes. Of course, some people in those classes drank champagne, but people like Maynard Keynes and Eglantine did seem to, I guess, education and connections enabled them.
What happened when she staged her protest in Trafalgar Square? Because it was not popular, was it?
No, it was not popular because it was actually Eglantine and her sister Dorothy Buxton who founded Save the Children together, and they had also helped form the Fight the Famine Council, trying to lobby the British government to lift this blockade. Even though the war had ended in the November, this was now April 1919, and food was not getting through to Europe. And so that's what the protest was about. So it's a leaflet with a starving Austrian baby saying, we've got to do something about this. So the British government did not want these sorts of voices being heard, was still thinking of Germany as the enemy. And so that's why it was not popular. So, yes, she was arrested.
But she got away with it and actually got some money. How did she get some money to start Save the Children?
Well, yes, she appeared in court and she was fined £5 because it was apparently contrary to the Defence of the Realm Act, which goodness knows how a humanitarian plea was, but that was the law of the day. But the judge on the day was so persuaded by her convictions and the cause, really, that there were starving children and adults, obviously, in Europe. And so when the court trial was over and she's fined £5, he comes and gives her £5, which becomes the first, even though they didn't know it was the Save the Children Fund then, that became the first donation.
And what contribution did she make to the eventual drawing up of the Geneva Declaration of the Rights of the Child and then eventually the UN Convention?
OK, so the Save the Children Fund was formed in the May of 1919, as I say, with her sister Dorothy, big rally in the Albert Hall. The movement became a very strong body, started to become international, and Eglantine realised that this was an international issue, a humanity, basically. And so Geneva, after the First World War, the League of Nations was there, the Red Cross had been founded there. She felt it needed an international base. So she moved to Geneva, even though Save the Children continued here. And it was while she was in Geneva that she felt it's not enough just to respond to emergencies, but a charter is needed, some kind of baseline of rights for children. So it was when she was in Geneva she drew that up, which became the Declaration of the Rights of the Child, which was adopted in 1924 by the League of Nations. And it's a big document. Hers is the first signature. And it's that 1924 document that has evolved into the current UN Convention.
Now, how come you're going to perform your play in the Central Family Court in London?
Well, Claire Mully, the biographer, I'd let her know I was touring again with the show. I've just done some shows in London. I'm about to do the Brighton Fringe, as you say, starting tomorrow for a week. And I'd let Claire know because she'd seen the show in Cambridge. And she knew that the Central Family Court currently has an exhibition, a human rights exhibition. So she'd pass the e-flyer on, letting you know about Anne's show. And then it was Judge Robin Tolson who actually emailed me in New Zealand saying, we're wondering, would you like to perform the show at the family court, Central Family Court? And I'm loving this idea because I adore the idea of theatre actually intersecting with the real world. In that connection, I performed the show in her house in 2015, which was a wonderful thing to do too. So theatre in non-traditional spaces. So it was the judge's idea. And when I got to London, sort of setting up for the shows I did here recently, went and visited the court where the exhibition is, and that's how it came to pass.
And Joanne Boleyn, very best of luck with it. Thank you very much for being with us.